Thank you, Julius, Vanessa, and Nicole. Enjoyed that very much. Thank you, Crystal, for your scripture reading today. Appreciated that too. And thank you to everyone who participated today. And thank you all for being here. I know after last week, I didn't know if any of us were going to be here this week. That's an old joke. Never mind. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is your church. This is your service. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a question for you. How many digital photographs will the world take in 2017? I have no idea. I had to look it up myself, okay? There are approximately 7.5 billion people living on the planet today. About 5 billion of those dear ones have a cell phone. And about 80% of that 5 billion have a built-in camera. And let's say they take 10 photos a day. That's what, 3,600 photos in a year. Multiplied by all those people, that's over 14 trillion 600 billion photographs going to be taken in 2017. Why do we do that? We spend all that time, money, and energy to supplement our memory so that we can remember. We don't want to forget. We human beings need all the crutches we can get to augment our memories. And I think memory is a very important thing, and I think you would all agree with me on that. For instance, we all know how frustrating it is to misplace things, you know, like our car keys. Yes, our car keys. And sometimes we scold ourselves for our inability to remember where we placed those infernal things. One night, a number of years ago, when we still had a television set that we don't have now for over 25 years, but when we used to have a television set, I would get up in the middle of the night because I have insomnia. And I went, turned on the TV, and I turned on one of those infomercials. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Anybody there with me now? You know, I'm talking about those infomercials that try to sell you everything from junk jewelry to weight loss shakes and all that. You know what I'm talking about. Well, I saw this guy, and he was selling a course. It was called the Mega Memory Course. And I thought to myself, I am so impressed by this guy's memory. I want a photographic memory just like he's got. I've always dreamed of having a photographic memory. You know, I do have a terrible time with names. You all know that. I mean, you've seen me stumble and fumble over people's names. Well, I even forgot my wife Donna's name on one occasion. My wife, Lana. I looked it up. It's on our wedding certificate, so it is Lana. But I did forget it one time. But I have to tell you, friends, that memory course did me no good. Not one bit of good. Why? I placed it somewhere, and I forgot where I placed it. The Bible in Proverbs 10, verse 7 says this to us, and it's an interesting statement. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, you are the righteous, and memory is a blessing to us. Why? Because we're going to remember all the good things. And if we have stored good things in our memory, that's going to be a great blessing to us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Paul urges Timothy to remember Jesus Christ. Now that word remember in the Greek is an interesting word. It's actually pronounced Mona Monaro. And it's actually a command, not a suggestion given by Paul. It is a command. He is literally commanding Timothy to not only remember Jesus, but also to respond accordingly. It's a two-part command. Timothy is to make Jesus the focus of his attention continually. Remember Jesus, the one set apart as God's anointed, as he raised him from the dead. But also that word, Mona Mamaro, is not just a command to remember, but it's a command to proclaim. It's a two-part command. Paul is urging Timothy to remember Jesus Christ and to proclaim him. Well, that's what Paul has in store for you and I, dear ones. Never forget what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Keep Jesus fresh in the photo album of our minds and be ready to proclaim him at every opportunity. I have a question for you. Is Jesus the sweetest thought in your mind every day? If we are not thinking of him constantly, what are we going to do in heaven? What in life is pushing Jesus from the forefront of your thinking? We're all fond of saying, aren't we, by beholding we become what? Changed. By beholding what? Jesus. Remember Jesus. Do you want victory over every besetting sin in your life? Of course you do. Do you want a peace that the world cannot give you, a peace beyond all human understanding? Of course you do. And if Jesus is our sweetest thought throughout the day, we become like him in character, and we cannot keep silent. We will be compelled, dear ones, to proclaim the joy that he has placed in our hearts. Why? Because Jesus has taken up permanent residence in our mind and in our hearts. Psalm 35, verse 28 says this, "And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise," just once a day. No, it doesn't say that. It says we will do that all the day long. Let me share something with you from the pen of inspiration. One of my favorite devotional books is That I May Know Him. And on page 274, the prophet of the Lord says this. She says, "While I was in England one day, there was a great parade in the streets. It was the Queen's Jubilee. Everyone was talking about it. The shops filled with her pictures. All were extolling the Queen of England. Could we have taken from the shop windows the pictures of the Queen and the signs of her glory and placed instead expressions of the glory and majesty of Jesus, would not the people have regarded us as religious fanatics? They would have thought that we were carrying religion too far. But did not our Master lay aside his royal robes, his crown of glory? Did he not clothe his divinity with humanity and come to our world to die, man's sacrifice? Why should we not talk about it? Why should we not dwell on his matchless love? Oh, that our tongues might lose their paralysis, that we might speak forth of his praise. Oh, that the spiritual torpor which has come upon the souls of men might be removed, that we might discern the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are to be the representatives of our Lord upon the earth. He can communicate heaven's light through you to those who sit in darkness. You that have claimed to know the Lord, you who profess to have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, reveal it to those around you. Show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And then she says this, "If men can make so much ado over the Queen's Jubilee," and I could add Trump's inauguration, "if they can manifest so much enthusiasm over a finite being, Can we not speak of the glory of the Prince of Life, who is soon to come in majesty to take his weary, worn followers to himself, to unlock the prison bars of death, to set the captives free, to give his loved ones who sleep a glorious immortality? Why cannot Christ be introduced into our conversation? We are almost home, she continues. Let us speak courage to the weary soldiers of the cross. Let us tell the pilgrims and strangers of earth that we shall soon reach a better country, even a heavenly. You know, dear ones, I believe this service was tailor-made by Jesus for you and I this morning so that we can remember and proclaim him. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "This do in remembrance of me." This is Jesus' command to you and I. I want to share another story with you about remembrance. It takes place in London again. There was a Christian restaurant owner who had the name of Emil Mettler, who was a close friend, and I know you've heard this name before, of Albert Schweitzer. Do you remember who Albert Schweitzer was? Well, he was a Christian man. He was a medical missionary to Africa who left Europe and everything behind in response to Jesus' call to become fishers of men. He was also a Nobel Prize winner for his work to bring about world peace. Well, anyway, this friend of Schweitzer, Mettler, would never allow a Christian worker to pay for his meals in his restaurant. One day, as Mettler opened up his cash register and Schweitzer was standing there right with him, Schweitzer opened it. He was aghast. He saw among the bills and the coins in the cash register a 6-inch long nail. Yeah, what are you doing with that nail in your cash register, Emil? Mettler explained, "I keep this nail with my money to remind me of the price that Christ paid for my salvation and what I owe him in return." Mettler always had before his mind what Jesus did for him. What a blessing that is. Do we have any such remembrances of Jesus? Yes, we do. We're going to do it in a little while. It's called the communion service. We need to remember Jesus. Why? Dear ones, as you know, because the world is doing everything in its power to get us to forget about Jesus. From the myriad of false religions storming into this country, to the forced teaching of evolution in our public schools at virtually every grade level, to the stripping away of anything Christian in our public schools, from prayer to discussing chastity or morality, to the slipping into our churches of false teachings and doctrines. Dear ones, it is an all-out assault on our values, especially on our memory to keep Jesus in the forefront of our minds. I don't recommend you watch TV, but some of you do, I know. And how many times are Christians portrayed as buffoons and silly and stupid, and they're brought the brunt of all kinds of jokes? That's the world trying to strip you of your thought of Jesus. But today, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Jesus is the pattern by what we're going to do here today. He specifically designated the partaking of the bread and the cup as an instrument to help us remember him. Again, in 1 Corinthians 11:24-26, "And when he had given thanks, he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And then he says this, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes again." That's beautiful. This communion service is just like that 6-inch nail in that cash register drawer to remind us of what Jesus has done for us. Remember Jesus. I want to share another story with you about a couple. Not a very happy story, but they had a very beautiful little girl. And this young daughter was killed tragically in a car accident. That seemed to destroy the happiness in the home, and you could understand why. Their hearts were an abject grief. As time passed, the husband and wife, well, their love for each other grew distant and cold. Their love for each other just wasn't the same after the loss of their little girl. Finally, their love went absolutely cold. A bitter hatred came into their lives. Finally, they agreed to separate and then divorce. As they were in their home one day going over who's going to get what within the home, they were exhausted from going through all the many things that they've accumulated over the years of their marriage, and they sat down on the edge of a bed just to catch their breath. Their eyes happened to fall upon a pair of little red shoes, which had belonged to their little girl. The reminder of their precious little daughter softened their hearts. Before long, they were weeping in each other's arms. God convinced them of the mistake that they were about to make. They got back together. Their marriage was saved. That little reminder, dear ones, those little red shoes, was the turning point in their lives. I want this service to be a turning point in our lives as well. Just like those little red shoes, just like the six-inch nail in the cash register, this service is designed by Jesus Christ to help you remember what he did for you. But friends, I want to talk to you about something else. I want to talk to you, yes, I talked about memory, but I want to talk to you about one more thing. I want to talk to you about forgetting. Forgetting for just a moment. I believe our communion service must be and shall be about remembering Jesus. But it also must be about forgetting. Forgetting the hurts. Forgetting the anger. Forgetting the bitterness. Forgetting the resentments we have toward anyone in our church family. Forgiving and forgetting the hurts that have been done to us, and forgiving and forgetting the hurts that we have done to others. Let me share some text with you. Hebrews 8:12. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. Isaiah 43:5. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and remembers your sins no more. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Mark 11:25. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you should also forgive. Dear ones, God does not remember our sins. Can you believe that? Even though he is God with a perfect photographic memory, He chooses not to remember your sins or my sins. Praise God for that. So I have a couple questions to ask you, dear ones. Follow with me. Can we do anything less for each other? Can we choose to forget? With all the conviction that I can muster within my heart of hearts, my dear church family, I am imploring all of us to forgive and forget. I would like for all of us this morning to figuratively drink from the cup of forgetfulness. I want us all to develop a permanent case of amnesia this morning. When it comes to any personal hurt or offense anyone has done to us, forget the past. Forget your hurts. I know some of you are saying, but Pastor Patch, you don't know how so-and-so has hurt me. So-and-so has not asked for my forgiveness. And so-and-so has not apologized to me for the hurt that they caused. I cannot, no, I will not forgive that person until they ask for my forgiveness. And oh, by the way, Pastor, I will forgive so-and-so, but I will never forget what they did. Does that sound like anybody here this morning? I pray to God there isn't. Luke 23:34, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Acts 7:59-60, and as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In just these two examples, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and yes, they are extreme examples, I will say that right now, both our Lord and Stephen are nearing their own deaths at the hands of men who hated them. And yet, they could forgive them, and they could also ask God to forgive them as well. Where was the repentance there? Matthew 5:11-12. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew 5:43-48. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be the sons, daughters of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than the others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? The non-believers, don't they do the same? And then Jesus ends with this cryptic phrase, therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfectly loving. Can I ask us all to do something really radical today? I've asked you to do some things in the past, but today I'm going to ask you to do something really radical. Jesus is telling us to love our enemies. And yes, nobody's an enemy in this church. We all know that. But my point is that Jesus is calling us to a radical attitude of mind, a changing of our thinking. Love those who have done us wrong, no matter what hurt, slight, or insult there might have been. Could we just forgive and forget the past without any preconditions? Are we going to try to be like our Heavenly Father? Can we do that? Listen to me very closely, my dear friends. Forgiving someone doesn't mean that their behavior, whatever it was, is acceptable. I'm not saying that. That's not what forgiveness is. What it does mean, though, is that we are ready to move beyond our hurt. We're ready, as a church family, to drop the heavy weight that we have been carrying all this time. We're ready because we're going to choose to live free from the past. We choose that we will no longer be chained to the past. If we want our church to move forward, dear ones, you gotta forgive and forget. I have another, please listen to this closely. Loving and forgiving your brothers and sisters in this church family doesn't earn you the reward of heaven. But cherishing the reward of heaven, cherishing Christ in our hearts, enables you to love and forgive your brothers and sisters. This is evidence that Christ has taken up permanent residence in our hearts and in our minds. So today, my admonition, my strong admonition to all of us is to remember Jesus and to proclaim Him everywhere. And I'm also asking you, for Christ's sake, to forgive and forget. Amen. I'm going to ask you, in just a moment, in fact, right now, I'm going to ask everyone and anyone who would like to stand with me, if you so choose. Stand with me if you are ready to completely forgive and forget the past. Would anyone like to stand with me, please? Also, stand with me right now if you could say in your heart of hearts, I release all anger, I release all resentment, all bitterness that I have in my heart toward anyone in this church family. I am also going to ask you to stand, my dear friends, if you have done or said anything that has caused any hurt or pain to anyone else in this congregation. And that by standing, you are giving evidence of a contrite and repentant heart. Can we do that this morning? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for this beautiful service of memory and forgetfulness. As we cherish and treasure in our minds what Jesus did for each one of us personally, may this awaken in our hearts a keen desire to turn from the world and its sinful ways and to turn wholly to Jesus. Bless this church family, O Lord. And there may be some here who have drifted away. Help them to come back. Oh, Lord, give us all your tender heart of forgiveness. Help us to not only forgive, but to forget. Bless us in Christ's name, I pray. Amen.